ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
It's a real pleasure to be back here in Toronto in general, but very specifically to be here with all of you and to be in this community. And I for one feel that Rukmini's announcements are some of the best I've heard in the world. She's so articulate and nice balance of enthusiasm and articulation. So thank you very much wherever she went. Really good. Yeah. One more time. I have a few things probably on my mind that we can talk about in a minute. But I thought we could start with a little chanting of the Maha Mantra. And this is a chant which frees one from unnecessary attachment to the material world, which is the cause of my anxiety and any other troubles that I'm having. It happens through the mind. The mind is the place in which I process what I'm seeing in the world and what I'm encountering. It's not so much that I'm encountering things, but I'm interpreting what I'm encountering, and therefore I'm happy or I'm sad. And the mantra delivers us from the tyranny of the mind, from the way in which the mind wrongly processes what I'm seeing. Actually, reality is beautiful. It's so beautiful. Discriminatory, it works for everybody in all places and all times because the medicine is very potent. And just as with medicine that's very potent, even if you don't exactly know where it came from, or you don't even fully trust that it's medicine, or you don't know the doctor, the medicine will still work. So in a similar way, you may not know everything about this mantra, but you're here, so you might as well chant and try it anyway. So we'll go right into the Maha Mantra chanting just for a few minutes, and then we can have some discussion together. And this is one of the primary processes for advancing spiritually, is to chant a little bit and discuss a little bit. Does that sound okay to everybody? I only heard about 5 people, so. If it's not okay, you can always wait out in the hallway. When we're done, we'll come get you. We'll let you know when it's over. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Such a pleasure to be all together here on a Sunday. Actually, people all over the world get together on Sundays for spiritual reasons, and it's important because really the only thing that keeps the world afloat is our deep and abiding knowledge of and faith in our connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People express it in different ways all over the world. This International Society for Krishna Consciousness is really meant to impart universal principles that people can take up in their own lives without changing their style, without changing their religious practices. Personality of Godhead. And reality is beautiful when we're able to see it. Even for a fraction of a second, our lives are changed. So getting a glimpse of who we really are is important. And it's possible to go through a whole day without introspecting for 1 second because we're so busy. Is that true or is it just me? And by extension, we could go through a whole week without taking time to realize the beauty of our own existence. That we exist. We always have and we always will. Independent of all the things that we have and the life situation that we're faced with every day, that we look at as if we're looking at a movie, we become absorbed in it and we forget. Who were we before we came into it? Maybe being honest. Could you miss it? Two. Could I miss it for 20 years? I mean, is it possible to get so caught up in my life situation that I forget my life for 20 years? Possible? This handsome person over here is saying yes. How about 50 years? How about a whole lifetime? Oftentimes people are startled when their life is over because we never really got any kind of paperwork when we were born that said you get a lease for this long. At least I don't remember signing anything, do you? You didn't put your baby footprint on a paper or something you can find somewhere that says you have a certain amount of years you get? We're not guaranteed. So it can be a little startling when we realize that we've gone through a whole lifetime and we really haven't given much attention to what's real, which is ourself. And then there's a way, when we see ourself, we can also realize that there's an origin to ourselves. There's something that's keeping us alive. In fact, even on a material level, recently when I was taking a nap, afternoons I like to take a 17-minute nap. I've got it figured out. That's the right amount of time. Not too long, not too short. I was waking up from my nap the other day, I'd lie on my left side, and I felt my heart beating. I could actually hear it beating. Have you ever had that happen? And then I became aware that that's pretty miraculous that it's beating. I'm not really doing anything to help it. And I had a conversation with it. I said, you know, I really thank you very much for the work you've been doing for me. And my heart answered me and said, well, you're welcome, but really it's my duty. And I'll remind you also that I don't know how long I'll be asked to do this. I mean, when I'm asked to stop, I just stop because it's no longer my duty. So I appreciate your appreciation, but this is the situation. And when I put my feet back on the floor, I realized how important every moment was. Every heartbeat, it's not guaranteed. It's something that's going on as a gift. The breath that I'm getting, the air, the way my body's configured, to give me access to think about things. If I want to, at any time, I could actually turn my attention inwardly and think about who I am. I could turn it externally, I could look into the sky and say, how far does it go? Interestingly, the great wisdom literatures of the world, especially those that come from the Vedas, from Bharat, say that this is the main purpose of human life. We should eat to live, not live to eat. And when we do keep ourselves healthy, we should use that vitality that we gain for inquiring, asking the big questions. The other day, I was on a walk in a nearby park. We live in Burlingame, California, in a house with my wife, Nir Akula, sitting over there. It's a little house, but it's near a nice park named Washington Park. So every day I take advantage, I go for a long walk. And as in the park, a lot of squirrels out this time of year. You have squirrels here in Canada? They're pretty active right now because somehow or other they know what's coming. Start hiding stuff and running around. So this lady was walking her dog, and the dog saw a squirrel and ran after the squirrel. I think it was a terrier. They can't help themselves. So the terrier ran after the squirrel. The squirrel ran up the tree, and I could see that the squirrel jumped from one tree to the next, but the dog didn't see that. So the dog was at the bottom of the tree where there was no squirrel. And if you've ever seen terriers, they get a little enthusiastic. Thought he had a squirrel up the tree. And he went crazy at the bottom. He almost choked himself because he was barking so enthusiastically. But I was watching as I walked by and I saw a squirrel's not there. Squirrel went somewhere else. You think he's up in the tree. And then I remembered a saying, maybe you've heard it here in Canada, barking up the wrong tree. I looked it up. It actually comes from hunting days when people used to take their dogs out to go after animals like raccoons, and the raccoons would trick the dogs. Raccoon went one way, dogs went the other, and they'd be barking wildly at the tree where there's no raccoon. And then I thought, this is the way of the world. I put so much energy. I become so enthusiastic. But ultimately, there's nothing really there for me. I'm looking up to find something that's eluded me. It will elude me. Nothing to find there. So the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, don't try to search for happiness in matter because it'll slip through your fingers. Try to find your happiness by finding yourself. Find out who you really are. And this is the process of yoga. Otherwise, Krishna says, you'll never be satisfied. We're moving from one situation to the next, and we never quite find comfort anywhere we go. However, when we realize that we don't have to become something, we already are something that is so fascinating. The whole subject of the Upanishads, which is a transitional part of the Vedas, point out that if you want to see something amazing in this world, and we're looking for something amazing here, people are out shopping now, they're looking for the most amazing present they can buy someone. Or in general life, we want to see something interesting, a story. We want to hear a story that's interesting. We want to see something beautiful. But the Upanishad says the one thing that's really amazing, even Bhagavad Gita, which is called the Gita Upanishad, says, if you want to see something amazing, if you want to hear about something amazing, look at yourself. Not just the body, but what's animating the body. That's the real self, the Atma within. So this chanting, it helps to clean the mirror of the mind, settle the mind so that one can actually see and experience one's own self and the source of oneself. We have a divine source that's maintaining us at every minute. So, I've said a few words, we chanted a little bit, and before I say anything else, I'd just like to connect with you by hearing a few reflections. Reflection means anything you heard so far that's stuck in your mind. It's not a question, it's just reflecting back anything that I said so far. And we have a microphone. I think Rukmini just picked it up, so I guarantee you that when you raise your hand, you'll get the microphone within 7 seconds or less, or I will give you a Shri Shapanishad. And I now have a stack of them right here. And you can have it in any language that you like. Rukmini's fast though, so I don't think I'm going to give any out. Yes,
Prabhu. Such a relief that I don't have to try to be something else.
Yes. There's a great endeavor. There's a way where I never quite feel satisfied. No matter how I look, what kind of clothes I buy, the mind will always find some default with it. And actually, this frustration that we feel with the world, and first of all, let me make sure this isn't a false premise. Do any of you ever feel a little frustration with the world? I'm hoping. Well, at least 20 of you. Okay, a few more. 22. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam that frustration is the doorway to enlightenment. One of the reasons is that when we're frustrated, it's proof that we're not material. Because if we were material, we wouldn't notice the difference that the material world is odd-shaped and that things don't fit the way we want them to. We wouldn't even notice. But we're such subtle beings that we feel uncomfortable here. It's like an old story I heard when I was a kid. Maybe you heard it up here in Canada too, called The Princess and the Pea. Anyone? Three people. The princess was lost, and they were trying to find the princess. Sorry if I tell the story wrong. So, when they were trying to find her, many young women were coming and saying, "Oh, I'm the princess." And they couldn't tell who was who, so they put a test. They took a pea, a hard pea. It was dried. They put it on the ground, and then they put 7 mattresses, nice soft mattresses. So they would invite the candidates for princess to stay in the palace, and, "Oh, you can stay in this room." And the person would sleep on the bed with the mattresses, with the hard pea at the bottom. Many of them came out and said, "Oh, that was a very restful sleep, thank you very much. You're excused." Finally, one young girl came. They invited her to stay in this room. She slept on the mattress. She woke up the next day, said, "How did you sleep?" "I couldn't sleep a wink. All night long, I was tossing and turning. There was something hard underneath." They said, "You're the princess." Only a princess, implication is, body is so soft and delicate. She couldn't stand one little pea at the bottom of 7 mattresses. And we're the same way. Krishna says, "Indriyani prayanyahur indriyebhya paramaraha. Manasas tu para buddhir yogude paratastu saha." He said, lowest of all is the senses, above the senses is the mind, above the mind is the intellect. But the highest of all, the most subtle, is our self, the Atma. It's far more subtle than the intelligence, and we watch how our intelligence works. It's the most subtle element we can observe here in this world. We feel uncomfortable in touch with matter. Therefore, we're not material. We can be satisfied, however, if we stay in touch with the spiritual element. And the process of bhakti yoga means to be in touch, especially with the sound vibration that comes from the spiritual world. That can actually satisfy us. That's where we feel home. Everybody has to have a home. We have a home. Even your phone has a home button. We seek, where's the home thing? Where do I stay? Where's the home? In fact, we're travelers here in this world, every one of us. We may think we have a home here, and we do, but it's temporary. We'll be moved along. Actually, the word travel comes from a Latin word, travail, which means an instrument of torture. We don't like being moved on, and we don't like the uneven edges of the material world. We want sublimity, and we want a home where we're not moved on. We're not migrants moving from one place to the next, and we all are. And that can be found through the genuine process of connecting with our original divine source through a bona fide tradition that emphasizes our relationship with God and shows the means to do that. So in the process of Krishna consciousness, the primary means for feeling that connection with home is through the meditative chanting on the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one can feel it for oneself. I recently saw a billboard when I was coming back from India a few weeks ago in the New Jersey airport. It said, "If you can't be home, then feel home." So you can feel home by practicing the process of Krishna consciousness. And one of the aspects of this society, as Srila Prabhupada called it, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is to give an opportunity for other people to take to Krishna consciousness, to give it to others, especially through the written word. Is one of the seven purposes of this organization is to disseminate knowledge, because the founder of this organization inherited this duty from his teacher. It's a long tradition of passing on wisdom to the world, reasoning that that's more important than the temporary fixes we can make for the world. For instance, you can feed people, but they'll get hungry again. I have a bird feeder in my backyard. I fill it up whenever I'm home, but it's empty again, and it always will be. And the birds start over from where they were. People are like that too. But if somebody gets wisdom and they realize how to come in contact with God through a bona fide process, then they'll actually feel satisfied. So this is considered a very valuable practice. Around this time of year, we're spending a lot of time focusing on distributing, especially Bhagavad Gita, to the people of Toronto. Just yesterday, we went out to various places around Toronto and met people going door to door, offering them the opportunity to take the Bhagavad Gita. And I insisted, I wanted yesterday, for some reason, to go to places where people spoke Arabic. And why do you think I wanted to do that? Somebody guess. You guess. Why do you think I wanted to go to meet Arabic speaking people? With the stripe? Oh, you both have stripes. What? What is your guess? Actually, the real reason was because we have Arabic books. Which is kind of a miracle, because just getting the books we have in English was a miracle. But it's even more of a miracle. How did we get Arabic books? Somebody actually cared to translate them into Arabic. So I thought, as long as we have Arabic books, why don't we try to find some Arabic-speaking people? And how do we think we found them? Yeah, well, you were there, right? Google, yes. Who said Google? Okay, I got a ringer over here. Okay, yeah, it was Google. We asked Siri, actually, not Google. I asked Siri, and she told us where to go. Actually, Google gave us a little help. So we went, and we found a place where a lot of Arabic speaking people were, and we went door to door, and we found out that we have neighbors who speak Arabic, and they're very interested in receiving spiritual literature in their own language. I mean, they were over the moon about it. They're so happy to see books in their own language. And that we felt this connection, because it's a universal process. Everybody's looking for the way to connect to our original divine source. And it transcends all ethnicities, cultures, religious practices, and so forth. It's a common theme for all living entities, especially humans who have the wherewithal to immediately change their focus and reach there. So we went door to door. We found a whole group of people from Iraq who spoke Arabic. Actually, it ended up they were mostly Christians, because nowadays it's not so safe to be in Iraq when you're a Christian. That's what they told us. So they've come here to Canada, which reminded me of another great asset we have here in Canada, which is freedom of thought, freedom of practicing religion and so forth, which we can take for granted. And we needn't, because people all over the world are restricted in various ways. And we just happen to have some freedom, so we should take advantage of it. So those are some of the reasons I wanted to go distribute books in Arabic. And it was a fascinating experience. I guarantee you can't have more fun on any Saturday than going out and meeting people and discussing Bhagavad Gita with them, door to door. Mahabhagavat Prabhu is shaking his head yes. So I invite any of you, if you'd like to go, we can pile in your car and we can go somewhere together. And I'll go with you and show you what it's like to do that, just to meet people and give them the opportunity to read spiritual literature and just make friends with them, make friends with our neighbors here, there, and everywhere. That's what cities are for, after all. So all over the world, this time of year, devotees who are connected with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are preoccupied with distributing as many Bhagavad Gitas as possible. And I just came from Silicon Valley, where the devotees are congregated and distributing Bhagavad Gitas to many people in many different languages and so forth. And then my wife and I came here to Toronto to be part of your celebration of distributing Bhagavad Gitas also. So it's a very exciting time of year to be here with all of you. And tonight, I think there's going to be a short presentation about the ways in which we're distributing Bhagavad Gitas and some opportunities for people who want to help and do that. Just a word about, this is an actual realization I had about preemptive giving. I just want to check the time. How much time do I have?
5:42.
Really? Okay. Thank you. Okay, you want to hear another story? Okay, 7 people said yes. The rest of you, either put your fingers in your ear, or we have a soundproof room downstairs. And when I'm done, someone will come to get you. Okay, so, yeah. Every October, November, I go to India for a retreat. And I stay in one place for 30 days and do some deeper practice of bhakti at a place called Govardhan Hill. It's a very sacred place. And near Govardhan Hill, there's a sacred pond called Radhakund. And when I get to Govardhan, I usually go first to Radhakund and take a bath there, sacred bath. It's all sacred place. So there, whatever I study, it's all sacred. So I went to that place when I first got there. This was a couple years ago. I still remember it, and you'll see why. And I wore a gumsha. Anybody know what a gumsha is? It's just a wide piece of cloth you wear around your waist. You take out regular clothes, you put them on the bank of the pond. And then you wear this gumsha to cover yourself, and then you can go and submerge in the water. So this is supposed to be a purifying act. I better read this, because not at all. I knew I was going to get in trouble somehow. Okay. So I went in, I came back out, and all my stuff was gone. So I walked home the 2 hours back to the place I was staying, the ashram, only wearing a gumsha. And I pretended that I was like a holy man or something, with no possessions. I got to the ashram, and normally at the end of my stay there, I give a donation to the ashram out of appreciation for all the facilities I used. But then this time I went and I gave it first. And the reason I did that was because I realized that everything I had can be taken at any time. And so I came up with this doctrine called preemptive giving. And that is, if you wait until your things are taken away, and they will be one way or the other, you don't get any credit. But if you give them preemptively, purposefully, before they're taken away, you get credit. That's my story. And now, because we don't have any more time, I thank you very much. And there's a film that they're going to show, and they're going to make a presentation, as I mentioned earlier. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Here, take this. Thank you.
Personally, I'm Jolly Dutta to New York City, now coming to you very soon.
Krishna. So hope you enjoyed being in Vrindavan Dham. If you did, say Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
How will you feel? Well, by the way, everybody noticed what was in Vaisheshika Prabhu's hands?
Beads.
What kind of beads?
Neck beads.
These are special Tulsi beads which devotees wear around their neck, and you saw they were blessed. So how will you feel to have those beads with you today, right here? Okay. So your wish has been fulfilled. So Vaisheshika Prabhu actually is traveling with some of those beads, and he was very, very kind enough to spare some beads for Toronto. Remember, he said he really likes the devotees here. So we have those beads here available as gifts for your support, as a token of our appreciation. If you show support for the Shastra Dan program, which is the gift of knowledge, by your support, we can place these Bhagavad Gitas on this occasion of Gita Jayanti, which is on Tuesday. It's the day when Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago. This knowledge, this book, has changed millions of lives, saved lives, and continue to do so. But we need support. We need your support. For last 7 years, we have been, with the collective support of the community, placing over 50,000 Bhagavad Gitas in hotels, motels, hospitals, prison houses, youth shelters, and many, many more places where people need spiritual knowledge. And they're not fortunate enough to be here in a temple and be here in these classes. So once again, we are asking for your support. We have a goal to sponsor 5,000 Bhagavad Gitas. Do you think we can do it?
Yes.
Okay, I think so too. And that's why we have these gifts ready. Where are the gifts? Right here. And Vaisheshika Prabhu has kindly agreed also to personally hand those gifts to you as you come forward. So we are looking for commitment and pledges today. And we have made it very easy for you. If I can have the categories again on the screen. So we're going to show some numbers, but we'll talk in terms of levels. So I hope it's readable. There are six levels. Level 1, $250, you get a gift. Level 2, $500, and you get one of those blessed beads. Level 3 goes up to $1,000, you get the beads, plus the maha water from that lota, you know, that little vessel that Srila Prabhupada brought with him on the ship Jaladuta to the US. And rest is history, as we know. Moving on, level 4, $2,500, you get everything above. So the beads, the maha water, as well as go puja, which is prayer to the cow, mother cow. We saw in the video, your name, your family's name will be included in that prayer that will happen in Vrindavan. Level 5, $5,000, all of the above, plus a personal fire yagya, the fire sacrifice we saw Vaisheshika Prabhu doing at Govardhan. And we have a new level introduced this year, level 6, for the generous at heart, only $10,000. And you get everything above, starting with the beads, the special water, the go puja, which is the prayer to the cows, the fire yagya, and in case you can't read here, Vaisheshika Prabhu has agreed to personally come to your home with the lota and do a home shanti purification yagya in your own home. So this is to show how much he cares about sharing this knowledge with others, this Shastradhan program of how we can grow by giving. And this ties well into our Be a Giver campaign. So this is how much he cares to be here, to extend himself, to his personal time, travel for us to Vrindavan, offer prayers in our family's name, and even come to your home. So with no further ado, I would like to ask for people here to show your support by raising hands one at a time. And we will borrow a few minutes because it's a very important day, very important time. Our pujaris have agreed to cooperate. So the doors will open at the time they will in 5 minutes. But I'm requesting everyone to please be seated. We need few minutes for this. It's a community effort. So I'll stop talking and I'll look for some hands here.
I think we already saw one right here, all the way from Rochester, New York.
Mother Priya from Rochester, let's hear from some encouragement. Mother Priya. And as you come forward, you can announce the level, either privately or openly, to encourage everybody else. Four beats, so four level twos. Haribo! And you're getting there. So please be seated. We need a few minutes. Any more hands?
Don't be shy. Oh, there's someone right all the way over there. Lalita Mataji. Lalita Priya Mataji.
Lalita Priya Mataji. What level have you passed? Level two for Mother Lalita Priya. Haribo!
Forward.
Yes, let's show some appreciation for these devotees. What level? Level 2, one more level 2. Haribo! Mother Subhuti is here. She has given her life. Level 2 for Mother Subhuti, let's hear for her. Rameshwar Prabhu is coming forward. He is Kirtanya Sadahari, always chanting the holy names. And he is here to support the Shastadan program. Level 3. Get the black beef and maha water. Krishna Ganga Prabhu going for level 3. Let's hear from him. And those who are seated, please, you know, use your hands to express your encouragement for all these devotees who are stepping up, like Mother Sachi Mata and Muralidhar Seva Prabhu. And of course, Rupanuga Prabhu. So I'll start with Rupanuga Prabhu. Haribo! Let's hear for that. Level 2 for Rupanuga Prabhu, Muralidhar Seva Prabhu.
The great thing is if you haven't done any exercise.
Another level 2, Haribo! One more level 3, Hare Krishna! Varsha Mother is here for level 2, Hare Krishna! Vijay Patel Prabhu, new grandfather, goes for level 2. But if we all do a little bit, based on what we can, what your heart allows you to, we can all make it. So we are giving a few more minutes.
The next one, our family.
And that looks very familiar.
Okay.
What are you going for? 5 for Govinda and 2 for Ananya Bhakti. And that's one time for the job. here. Avnish Prabhu is... Namaste, Hari Om.
Announcement here. one thing everyone can talk a little bit when somebody raises their hand and calls in their donation, then just help by saying Hari Bol really loud. You'll see it has a great effect. And the other thing is, because we're running out of time, we really do have to stop in a few minutes. I'm going to count down from 10, and when we get down to 0, then the opportunity to take the beads and so forth will be over, and we'll move on. So all you have to do to stop the countdown is to raise your hand, and we'll start over. Is that okay?
Yes.
Yes, Maharaj.
Well, I got 2 yeses, so I need 1 more.
Yes!
To have an official quorum to be able to do this.
Let's start the
countdown.
Thank you.
Jai Prabhu. Namaskar. Hari Prabhu.
Thank you.
deductible in CRA, so you get a tax receipt from which you can use for your tax purposes. So definitely there is an opportunity to get back.
Natural Marman, Natural Marman, Natural Marman, Natural Marman, Natural Marman.